Okay, this is the hour we're going to take your phone calls with Zenith Inn right here on Coast to Coast AM, so get ready for that. And welcome back. We're going to take your phone calls right here and also talk a little bit more about Zenith Inn and some of the work that he has been doing. Do you believe that we are in the beginning stages of this change or halfway into it or not even there?
Well, you know, if we want to put this, when you say the change, let's put it in context of this, the change coming with the age of Aquarius. Well, each age lasts approximately 2,500 years. And so therefore, a few hundred years is not really that big of a transitional period of time compared to how long you're going to spend in the next phase. But I do believe that the change has already started. It is definitely underway, and it will take a while. But, you know, once we get to the other side of this, then we have 2,000 years of a very different kind of world.
That's true. All right, to the calls we go, west of the Rockies, Wenatchee, Washington. It's Bob's turn. Hey, Bob, thanks for calling.
Yes, good evening. We have a society now that is, for the most part, everybody has a laptop or an iPad or a BlackBerry. People spend all their time doing social networking and Twittering. The question is I remember a day when people, two friends, used to either call each other on the phone or go over to meet them in person. And there's a certain vibe that happens when two people are in the same room together. Nowadays, do you think that people are sort of losing touch with that? Because I walk by people every day that don't seem to know how to talk to another person unless they're doing it over the internet. And the fear that I have is if there is a disaster and their power goes out, we have a large society now. I'm talking billions of people that no longer even know how to build a simple fire with matches and wood, without being able to Google it on the internet to find out how to do it. I mean, what is the problem? Do you see a problem there?
Well, I'd like to jump in first of all and say, you're right. People are disconnecting from each other and going and using electronic devices to communicate, which is very much communication from the mind, from the brain. And, by removing that face-to-face human contact, it takes the heart element out of a relationship, and it does turn it into a completely different experience. And it is not healthy. It's better to connect with people in a physical environment and to connect with them on a heart-to-heart basis and not just purely intellectual. And then the second part of your question, yeah, not only do we have a whole generation of people that wouldn't know how to start a fire, but they wouldn't even know how to eat food. They don't even know what food is in the natural state. You know, if it doesn't come in a French fry container and have a little thing of ketchup in a plastic rectangular package, they're lost. And that is a big problem. That's part of, you know, we need to educate people more in a complete and holistic fashion.
Are you still doing work in Hollywood or primarily just the foundation?
No, I do both. I still have some clients and some films that I account for.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go to Cleveland, Ohio. Frank, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Frank.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good. All is well.
Okay. He had mentioned something earlier about, you know, the Mayans, where they were talking about that aliens have visited in the past and that they were supposed to come back. There was a special on the History Channel back a few years ago to talk just about that. And I guess a guy came down from the sky, taught the Mayan civilization everything that they know, and then he left with the promise that he would come back in 2012. And I was just curious as to what you guys thought about that. And I'll listen for my answer off the radio or off the phone.
All right. Well, I don't know, Zen.
Yeah, that, you know, it's the whole alien question and aliens coming back. You know, if they're here now, then and we're not being told about them, then if one more of them comes back, the whole thing is kind of difficult to really get your head around. Because I do believe that there is information that has been withheld. And, you know, there's fascinating history when it comes to aliens and alien cover-ups.
And do they walk among us?
Well, and yeah, is it District 9 out there? Yes, exactly.
Let's go to San Antonio, Texas. Tony's with us on the wild card line. Hey, good morning, Tony.
Good morning, gentlemen. Very nice to talk with you. I'd like to say that I agree with most of Xenophon's philosophy thus far, but I have a couple of problems with some of his science and a few contradictions. I don't want to be all nitpicking and get, you know, deep into it. I just have a couple of quick examples. One has to do with the thing about the core rewinding to the point where now it'll start spinning in the opposite direction, and at that brief moment of time there where it stops, that and there is no spinning, that there will be no gravity, and what will happen? We'll off we go. Well, no, gravity is not a result of the spinning of the Earth. The moon doesn't spin, but it has gravity. Its gravity is lighter because it has less mass. Gravity is a result of mass. Even if the Earth stops spinning, it will still have the same mass. And the spin, if anything, will produce centrifugal force, which will want to throw an object off and out off of the surface, not hold it to the surface. Gravity is actually overcoming the centripetal force of the spin of the Earth. But the mass is what is associated with the gravity, not the magnetic field and not the spin. So I have a problem with some of the science. Also, regarding that, George, get in on this too. I heard you come in later and say global warming or climate change, whatever. But then Xenophon gave an example of a 7-point-something earthquake perturbing the Earth's orbit, moving it closer to the sun, and then what happens? It gets warmer. But George, what about ClimateGate? What about Professor Jones recanting his data? What about, you know, all of that? Is it? I mean, the data really shows the planet has not warmed since, what is it, 1998 or 1997? That's what the real data shows. So, to me, basing a theory on something so that has been, you know, disproved right now, I know people are trying to, you know, ignore the facts, but those are two of my problems.
Well, let me address the other one, and then, Zen, you can take care of the first, the gravity part, but we have on this program talked many times about the fact that we do not believe global warming is simply man created, that this planet is going through a cycle, and we will see incredible changes because of the cycle, and that's just the way we believe it, and that's the way we call it. The Zen gravity changes.
Well, yeah. You know, I don't know what your background is, but it's probably more complex and more studied than mine. This is speculation if the Earth were to spin in the other direction. And I didn't, you know, want to infer that the suspension of gravity was a fact, because I don't know if anybody really knows precisely what will happen in that moment of time, but it was just one of the alternatives. And then I do want to make a comment on the warming.
The climate, sure.
The climate change. And this is just an observation as a Montanan. In 1900, there were 200 glaciers in Glacier National Park in Montana. And right now, there's only 27 left. And they're saying by the year 2020, there'll be none. And those glaciers have been there since recorded time, since the last ice age.
Jackie's in Weezer, Idaho. Hey, Jackie, go ahead.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
Great.
The question I have is basically regarding our youth. I'm having a problem with motivating young kids to go outside and do something, or instead of playing on the computers, get a set of dominoes out or some cards. I've noticed that these kids can't read and they can't add. I'm getting lost in trying to figure out grandkids that don't seem to have any motivation to do anything at all. They just kind of want to sit and have things handed to them.
Well, I don't know if you can answer that or not, Zen.
Yeah, that's a tough question. But it's not unusual. And I guess I'll just make a couple of comments. One comment is that children are being taught and socialized at a level that's the accepted behavior, because that's what everybody does. And the advertising barrage that children are subjected to from the time they hit 5 or 6 years old really has taught them to be consumers of video games and things along those lines, and really it's a learned attitude, and it's probably the norm with children today, and that is not metaphysical evolution. I understand your plight, and yeah, getting out and riding a bicycle or reading a book or going and playing basketball or badminton, any of those activities are superior to sitting in front of the television and playing a war game of some kind.
You're not at a point to throw in the towel and say, we can't fix this?
Oh, no. I always have hope that things can transform, because quantum physics tells us, and you'll read about experiences on my book, that things can change in a heartbeat. Entire circumstances can change almost instantaneously.
Sure. Your life can change instantaneously.
That's right.
Let's go to Fairborn, Ohio. Keith, you're a first-time caller. Hi, Keith.
Yes, I was wanting to comment on his spirit and his soul there. He was talking about that. You know, I have a theory on that myself. I studied the Bible for about 40 years.
Mm-hmm. That's a long time.
That's a long time. I studied Hebrew, Greek. But the soul is the hard drive in your computer. And you got millions of computers that have different hard drives, but they have their program with a different memory. And the electric company is your power god, who the spirit is the electricity that you get. And when he takes that spirit back, you have a memory, but it has nothing to program it to keep it alive. So after it's the spirit is gone, you have a memory that's nothing. And God is on a frequency, and if we're not on that frequency, we're not going to come back. That memory is going to be lost.
Well, we've turned this into the science of God, basically.
I understand your analogy that, the soul is kind of like the programming of the hard drive, and the spirit is the energy that keeps it running. But I guess where I would differ from your philosophy is that when the spirit energy leaves the body, so does the soul, which is the software that's running on the hard drive, and that transcends with the spirit to move into a higher vibrational frequency. And then that soul has the option to return to the physical plane and occupy another body, or it can remain, in what the Hindus call the Ashok region for a period of time, and then return in some other form.
So, and what's the main message you would like people to get with Journey to Truth, your book?
That we can change ourselves. We can become what we want to be. We have the tools.
Without thinking we can't be.
If you believe that you're going to fail, you will fail. Because
I agree
with become
that.
What we believe.
Let's go to the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee. Hello, Stephen. Go ahead, Steve.
No, good morning, fellas.
Morning.
Morning.
I just had a question about the age of Aquarius and Aquarius being ruled by the planet Saturn. And how is that going to play a part? Do you think that maybe where it is ruled by the planet Saturn, that this that everything coming together in unison could be almost like the cogs or gears in a machine?
Are you an astrologer?
I'm not quite an astrologer, but I've taken many workshops and classes and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Saturn definitely represents form and function. And like you say, the gears of a machine meshing properly, those are manifestations of Saturn energy. And yeah, I think that is likely, and it's a good symbol for us to try to identify with, because for the world to run significantly differently in the age of Aquarius, the machinery is going to have to run a lot smoother than it does now.
Somebody's got to be the gears to keep it moving, though.
Well, yeah, that's true. But one of the problems or the concerns in the world today, it's become dehumanized. People are no longer important. And when you start devaluing life and devaluing people, ultimately you're devaluing yourself.
Well, like every day, 40 people die in a bombing in Pakistan, 30 people die in a subway bombing in some other city, and you just become so immune to this now that there are lives out there that people are dying by the hundreds of thousands, and
yeah, people don't believe it's real, right?
No, it doesn't exist.
Externalize it. Mm-hmm. And that's not being very metaphysical
or very human.
That's right, or very human. And you know, one of the things that everybody writes about regarding the age of Aquarius is that a time of human compassion, where people are connected by love and genuine caring and a genuine relationship, as opposed to some electronic little manufactured physical thing.
Is it easy, in your opinion, to get into this state of of change, of evolution, as opposed to revolution, or is it difficult?
It's going to be difficult. That's why I'm recruiting the best and the brightest people that I can find.
You're going to turn them loose on us, aren't you?
And you're in the group, George.
I am?
Yes. By all means, you're one of the more educated and enlightened people on this planet, and you bring this message to millions of people every night. You're doing a wonderful job.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jen, that has educated me the most, and that's talking to people on this program. They've taught me more than I've taught them.
You give them a forum. That's what I'm saying. I mean, yeah. In this world today, there's more people that want to come out and talk about these things and share their experiences, and they're not crazy. You know, they're telling you what they truly believe, and you are so wonderful at facilitating that, first of all, and then secondly, connecting with people heart to heart. I mean, you really are genuine about your desire to hear what they have to say.
Well, let's take some final phone calls with you when we come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM, as we go to Birmingham, Alabama, Fort Worth, Texas, Woodway, Texas, Phoenix, Arizona, and so many other places on Coast to Coast AM. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, Nick Begich joins us as we talk about HARP and that Large Hadron Collider at CERN, just what is going on over there. On Wednesday, Stephen Quayle joins us as we talk about his updates of hotspots around this planet. And then Thursday, Michael Tellinger joins us, Temples of the Africa Gods, a fascinating story right here on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back. This journey for enlightenment, is it attainable by everybody, Zen?
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, I'm so glad you asked that. I would like to read a little quote here, if I may, that I just was reading in the book. Quote, "I claim to be no more than an average man with less than average abilities. I have not the shadow of a doubt that any man or woman can achieve what I have if he or she would make the same effort and cultivate the same hope and faith. And that's a quote from Mahatma Gandhi.
There it is. All right, let's go back to the phones. David is in Birmingham, Alabama. Hello, David. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. My wife and I love the show.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk about a couple of things. The disconnect, one thing. I have actually been unemployed for several months and have done several job interviews and have been informed that I didn't receive several jobs via text message, via email. And, you know, I'm 40 years old, and that's something that's just not, that I'm just not used to. You know, a face-to-face meeting, talking with someone, you know, at least over the telephone, to get an answer like that would just seem normal to me. But it just seems like people can get out of saying the negative things by using that type of communication.
It's definitely a form of disconnecting people, and it empowers people to do really risky and things that they would not do in person, but it's a lot easier to just send a text or, you know, write an email and basically fire somebody or tell them no. And that is epidemic in our society right now.
You there, David?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Do you have
here in the South, you know, we've dealt with a lot of race relations over the past century. And I witnessed something this past Sunday that I'm still trying to figure out, and maybe you guys can help me, but we went to a community-wide Easter egg drop where over 10,000 people showed up at a high school football field, and it just got plain out savagery. I mean, this the African-American kids were knocking and bloodying noses and knocking kids down over plastic Easter eggs, I'm trying to get this in my mind. It actually looked like some videos that we've seen from Haiti where they were having like the helicopter drops and stuff like that. Where does that savagery come from in their community? Do you have any ideas about that?
Because I don't know if it's just the community. Where does savagery come from, Zen, all over this planet?
There's this desperation that, you know, I'm going to get my share before it all runs out. You know, I'm going to get mine. And there's, I think that is becoming a prevailing attitude. And then the other thing that I would like to comment on, and this goes back to the grandmother who called in earlier regarding her grandchildren, and that is, look at the role models. Look at the people that these people look up to, and then the lives that they really lead, and what are they teaching them? And, you know, they're basically teaching them, take what you can, you know, get what you need, and forget everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. First come, first serve, right?
Yes.
Kevin's in Phoenix, Arizona, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Kevin. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you, George. It's always a privilege. I just wanted to the caller from San Antonio stole a little bit of my thunder, but he actually made a comment about the moon not spinning. It does rotate on its axis. It doesn't rotate very fast, but it does enough. If it wasn't for that, we would see different sides of the moon all the time. It's because it rotates just fast enough that we do see the same side of the moon all the time as it orbits the Earth. But the fact that the Earth does spin, if it were to stop spinning, it would not decrease gravity at all. It wouldn't affect it, I don't think. And a perfect example of that is if you look at Venus, a year on Venus, or I should say a day on Venus is longer than a year on Venus. It takes longer for Venus to rotate on its axis one time than it does to go around the sun one time. And the gravity on Venus is sufficient to that of the Earth. They're pretty similar in those aspects.
Okay.
So, I mean, that would just be right there if you just wanted proof without having to research it, or if people needed to see that, hey, this spin of a planet would not affect the gravity. That'd be one prime example, and Venus is so similar to the Earth, with the exceptions of temperature and the greenhouse effect and stuff, that, you know, you could compare the two in that aspect.
What do you think, though, Kevin, would happen if the Earth stopped spinning?
Actually, there's going to be a special on the National Geographic channel. It's called When the Earth Stops Spinning. And if anyone has any questions on that, they'll cover just about everything you can probably think of, any questions you have. But
interesting. Okay.
You would have dramatic weather pattern changes. You'd have high winds that would affect a lot of people. It could be, you know, it could tear buildings down, tear skin off flesh, stuff like that.
Yeah, I know that, you know, this is being considered by the science community and being studied. And as far as, you know, the only attribute of it stops spinning is this loss of gravity. You know, the consensus is that that's not the case. But my point was much bigger than that, and that is if the Earth stops spinning, what is going to happen? Because nobody really knows. It's never done it before in our lifetimes.
It's slowed down. It hasn't stopped spinning. But in our lifetimes, it hasn't slowed dramatically enough for us to see the effects that you're talking about.
Right. And you mentioned that this show was going to be on that's going to actually address this question.
It's going to address that completely. I also had one more comment, if I could. You made a point earlier that you said something to the effect of 15,000 nuclear weapons would decimate the planet?
Correct.
Okay. Now, when you make a statement like that, I was just thinking that you could deal with something more specific as far as, for example, were you talking about, you know, atomic weapons? Are you talking about hydrogen bombs? Because there's a big difference in the two.
No. The current hydrogen bomb technology. Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's good that you bring that up. It actually takes an atomic bomb to set off a nuclear bomb. And a nuclear bomb is at least 100 times more powerful than any atomic bomb that we've ever built.
I think it's amazing that one hasn't gone off in a very aggressive way, not a test, since the sadness of World War II.
Yeah, it is remarkable. Yeah. Although technically there was, the rumored ship explosion in the Mediterranean, which was supposed to be an atomic bomb. And there's that information has kind of been kept secret.
Let's go to Fort Worth, Texas. Hey, Michael, you're on with us. Go ahead.
Thank you, George. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to share a dream with you. I had and followed up by a question.
Sure.
I had a God's eye view of the Earth as it was spinning, and I usually don't remember my dreams, but this was pretty vivid. I had the dream like probably about a year ago. Well, anyway, the Earth was spinning, and I had this God's eye view, and then it stopped spinning. You know, it's kind of progressively slowed down, and then my body kind of accelerated toward this highlighted view of California. And when I got to California and I actually landed on the surface, it just went crazy. I mean, it was like a cataclysm. You know, they had like an earthquake. You know, the bridge snapped and, you know, cars flying all over the place. This was the Golden Gate Bridge, too. And people were screaming. And, you know, I'm not trying to bring about doom and gloom or anything, but
no.
It was kind of a weird dream, and then I, you know, went back out to the God's eye view, and then the Earth just started rotating again and kept spinning. And the question I had is that you think humans are intuitive as to what's going on, because this is like a strange dream, and I'll just listen to you offline. Thanks for taking my call again.
Sure. Well, I think people have the ability to be intuitive. There's no doubt about it. I think we use it in our day-to-day life all the time. And you may be very well having a precognitive dream of an event that could happen in the not too distant future. And I would guess then you would be subscribed to that.
Yeah, even to the point where there is an author, Barbara Han Clow, who is pretty well respected. And she talks about the collective residual effects of this tilt in the Earth's axis 5,000 years ago, and which set off this cataclysmic event all around the world and changed civilization forever. And it's her contention that we have residual knowledge of that in our DNA because we are survivors of that, and we collectively can sense this oncoming event and that our intuitions are connected all around the planet.
Let's go to Gigi in Woodway, Texas. You're up with us. Hey, Gigi.
Good morning. I was just wondering, you know what?
What?
he was talking about a pet peeve, and one of my biggest one is all of the money that's wasted to do really bad Hollywood movies. All the resources.
Most
everything.
Of the movies are bad. Most.
I know.
Yes, but I will tell you that most of that money comes out of, you know, private individuals' pockets. So it's not like it's your tax dollars making movies.
Well, I know, but they're destroying resources. They're wasting energy and all kinds of good stuff.
All in the name of art and love, yes.
But anyway.
Well, you know what? Let me make one more comment on that, if I might, having been a Hollywood person for quite some time.
I hope I didn't offend you too greatly. But
No. But I will tell you that no matter how bad you think the movie is, there's somebody in Hollywood that thinks it's great.
Yeah.
That's true.
People who make them, they love them.
Yeah, I know. It's everybody's little baby. But
that's right.
My question is, okay, this is based on a seventh grade knowledge of astrology when I had to do a report. But I don't understand the age of Aquarius in the fact that, okay, you have like all your sun signs, like you start out with Aries and you end up with Pisces.
Yes.
Like it goes in that order.
Yeah, it's called the precession of the ages, and it goes backwards. And
I don't understand.
Yeah, it's difficult to explain, but you're right. We're actually coming out of the age of Pisces, and we're going into the age of Aquarius. And that is backwards on the horoscope, but you got to just live with it.
Okay, and then the other thing is, like, aren't, like, the places where the constellations were, didn't they all move or something? So
they're constantly moving.
Yeah, but like, so how can you say it's this date from this date, or how come they didn't change?
I don't understand that question. Do you use that?
Oh, okay. Well,
no, I don't either.
I'm sorry.
No, that's right.
I understand. The late night show.
Hey, thank you so much. Y'all have a great morning.
Okay. Very good. Mike in Covington, Louisiana. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to say two quick little things. One, the National Geographic show they were talking about earlier actually came on this evening before you came on the air, and they addressed the whole issue of the Earth slowing down. And
what did they say? What did they say if it stopped spinning?
We would appreciate a lot of solar problems, the sun being focused on one spot for too long, the oceans would start to dry up, the polar caps would melt, new oceans would form, temperatures increasing drastically, starvation, all that good stuff.
So we're in a big mess if that happens.
Right.
Yeah, they're also, now that I think about it too, there would be rapid cooling on the dark side of the Earth.
Right. It would be like, it would be minus 200 degrees on the dark side and over 200 degrees at some points, you know, on the equator, or what would turn out to be the equator. And real quick, I just wanted to address something with your other callers had mentioned about this disconnection of humanity with the technological age that we're in. Right. And for the grandmother, I strongly suggest, you know, sit down, teach your kids how to play dominoes, you know. I live in Louisiana. We had Katrina, you know, we have a lot of hurricanes, and we, you know, my kids know how to handle things when there's no power, you know, and it should be something that everybody should do. You should, because you never know what situation could arise. We've got earthquakes everywhere. Hurricanes are hitting in odd places nowadays. It's a reality of our world. You should accommodate yourself for that. And the disconnection, you're right. People are braver when they're making blog posts online. And another thing, too, is that they do that and they don't think about the consequences of the interpersonal relationships that they're damaging.
Good point. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mike. Good point.
No problem.
I can't believe people are getting fired through texting. They text people and say, don't come into work. What do they say?
Yeah, it's become a very, you know, inhuman environment where, you know, employees are expendable.
Dear so-and-so, your services are no longer required. Don't come in. Text message. Boy, how'd you like to open up that on your phone?
Yeah.
Let's go to Grass Valley, California. Arthur, take it away. I've got a minute or so for you, Arthur. Go ahead.
I would like to be concise. I think that consciousness's real purpose, you know, for humans, their consciousness, is to direct energy. And, you know, in relation, in to answer that woman before that asked about astrology, in a very simple way, astrology is just to show how the Earth has its relationship to the different constellations, because really this is like a TV set, and all those constellations or those huge stars out there are transmitting waves out here. It's just like a TV set. You know, that's why man can't really go to Mars. As soon as he's on Mars, he'll be a Martian. That's the movie that's playing. It's true. So anyway, thank you.
All right. Well, and the other problem, I don't think man can sit in a little capsule for 18 months.
Yeah, and why would you want to go to Mars when you could go to some beautiful river and sit on the shore and watch the sun rise and set over the trees? You know, there are so many gorgeous things in nature that are infinitely more satisfying and rewarding and coincide with our life experience, and yet we ignore that, and we want to run away to someplace else.
You know, it takes about 3 days to get to the moon once we're up and running. If we could get to Mars in a month, it would probably be worth an expedition, don't you think?
Well, see, I am definitely of the Star Trek generation, so I think we should take a lot of resources on planet Earth and start, you know, pointing towards the stars.
Colonizing them?
Well, terraforming them? Yeah, well, just the transformation that it would require on planet Earth, the society and the governments and financial structures, etc., would be healthy for the human race.
Would you tell us where to get Journey to Truth?
Journey to Truth can be purchased at Amazon.com, and you can get there either through our website, which is ogfoundation.org, or also you were nice enough to put a link up on the Coast to Coast website as well.
Of course. All right, Zen, thank you so much. I will have to say you were very enlightening.
Well, thank you, George. It's a pleasure and an honor to be on your show.
For Dan Galante, Dave Buzinski, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesure, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.